Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to some inspiring and influential women about their lives, their work, and what really influences them to uplift and motivate our day in an achingly human way. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Jade English. Hello, and welcome, Jade.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for inviting me to this amazing apartment of yours.
No, it's okay, no problem.
Jade English is a marketeer and appeared on The Apprentice TV series with Sir Alan Sugar. So Jade, obviously we do need to hear about The Apprentice and what it was like working with Sir Alan.
Yeah, it was a really intense experience, I'm not going to lie. It was interesting. It makes you learn so much about yourself. So I think when I first went into the show, I wasn't actually a very confident young lady, I don't think. And to go on it, obviously, you know that you're going to be seen in front of so many people. I actually started to get in shape. I started doing like positive affirmations to make sure that I was really confident. And yeah, I was really chuffed with it. I think I did actually surprise myself. I was always in the bottom set for everything at school, so I always thought it was stupid. When I got there, I suddenly thought, oh, actually, I'm a little bit more capable than I'm giving myself credit for. So yeah, it was good. It was a bit of a confidence boost. Yeah.
Fantastic. And very brave you are. What you talk to yourself, positive affirmations, say.
So what I do is I meditate quite a lot. Just to clear my mind. And then, so positive affirmations are things that you say to yourself. You might not be aware of it. So you have an internal voice. That's what builds up your self-esteem. So if you do something stupid, you might say to yourself, oh, can't believe you've just done that. And you speak to yourself quite poorly as a human. And what positive affirmations do is they retrain that negative voice within your mind to say positive things. So in the morning, you might feel a little bit silly, but you look at yourself and you say, the one I always do is, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm confident. And if you keep doing that, repetition, it makes you actually build up your self-esteem. It's very bizarre when you discover that you can do that, actually.
There's one of those songs on Sex and the City, isn't there? That exactly those lyrics. I am strong, I am
invincible. No, I haven't heard that, but yeah, say Sex and the City. I'm down for that.
So, Alan Sugar, I mean, he knows a lot about business, you know, worth, I think, around £800 million. I mean, did you enjoy it? Were you terrified? What were the good and bad bits?
So the thing that I always say about The Apprentice is I am so grateful for the opportunity. It has completely changed my life. Like, honestly, if you could rewind my life to a year ago, it's crazily different. I would recommend it for friends. I'm not sure if I had a child, I'd want them to go on it. Just because it is very grueling. And it's not necessarily the tasks themselves that take it out of you. I think it's a lot of what follows from it. I don't think... no one teaches you how to be in the public eye, really, I think, so quickly. And have so much respect for people who can do it very easily. But for me, I'm not going to lie, I did find that a bit of a challenge because, yeah, I guess you go from being Jade from Macclesfield to Jade from The Apprentice. So it is weird. Amazing experience. He was great to be around just because I had never been around people like that in my life before. I don't think I realised how much I lived in a little bubble, really, back home. And there is always, I guess, a glass ceiling. And after I went on that show, I suddenly started to see people that I'd never seen before. And I saw who I could potentially be and who other people had become. That's probably the biggest takeaway from it. The fact that you don't realize how much who you surround yourself with is such a huge, huge part of who you'll become.
You mentioned you're from Cheshire, but you live in Manchester now.
A bit of both. So I live in Cheshire. I actually live in Overpever, which is just outside of Audley Edge, that sort of way. And I also spend half my time in London as well. So I'm all over the shot at the moment.
But you've travelled a lot. How did that come about? There's a project that actually I'll skip to that we were going to talk about in a while, but you've been travelling around for a happiness project.
Yes, I have. So one thing that I found after The Apprentice was obviously I got taken away from society for 2 months. I had no social media, no phones. And when I came out, I suddenly started to see the world in a bit of a different way. And I thought, all these people that are striving for money and things, I'd suddenly been around these people, but they didn't seem any happier. And I thought to myself, what am I striving for? Why am I trying to be this successful, rich person going to some of these parties and things like that, when the people that are there, to me, they didn't seem happy? So what was it all for? And all of a sudden, I don't know, it was so bizarre. Everything that you've ever sort of learned or strived for just didn't seem to make sense to me anymore. And I just wanted some answers, really. So I actually, oh, it's so weird talking about it now because it seems like such a weird part of my life. But so I actually went on holiday to Bali for 2 weeks, and I got there and I kind of liked being unrecognized again. And I thought, okay, I don't think I'm ready to go home. Like, if I'm honest, I get bad anxiety, and it just really was not, it wasn't good last year for me. Yeah, so I said to my partner at the time, I said, I can't go home. I need to stay here, and I need to figure out what I want out of life. And for me, not for somebody else, figure out what my beliefs are, what I really want out of my life, because I'm not sure I've been living my life back home. I think I've been doing what everyone expects of me. So, sorry, it's quite weird. So I stayed on my own, and I just got to know myself a bit more. And then it sounds so cliche, but I really did start to find out, like, how do you like your eggs? How do you like your eggs? Because I think a lot of the time, as I know a lot of my female friends anyway, we kind of just go along with things, sort of. I'd go to parties, or I'd go to my friend's house when it wasn't really filling me up. It was just to make sure I kept everybody else happy. I had so many friends, but I'm not sure all of those friends are having the most positive impact on me. So I think I just needed to take some time to figure out what I wanted. And then I ended up going to Vietnam and then to India.
So you met monks and you discovered and learned a lot of happiness along the way as to why they're happy without the pressure. Is that what happened?
Yes. So after Bali, I went on to Vietnam, and then from Vietnam, I went to India, and I lived in the Himalayan mountains with... Sorry, it sounds so crazy, doesn't it? I went and lived with some monks as part of a project called World Weavers, where it basically is trying to... make everyone realize that we're all just human rather than having our own separate identities. So I went and lived with these monks in the monastery in the Himalayan mountains. And every day I'd get taught by one of the head monks just what happiness is. And so one of the main things that I actually, and I filmed a documentary there as well, which I'll hopefully show you soon. And so attachment with us, in the Western world, I think we think that attachment is love. So this is a quote that I really like. If you love a flower, you will water it and nurture it and watch it grow. But if you're attached to it, you'll pick it and keep it for yourself. So it just made me realize happiness really does come from within. It doesn't matter if you have objects, they can make you feel good for a certain period of time, and I think they should reflect achievements. But you know yourself, if you've worked towards something and made it happen yourself, it's so much more rewarding than someone giving you something for free. And I think it just made me realize, actually, so I mean, I studied radio and TV at university, and I always wanted to do it, and I just never had the self-belief that I could. And then so I've decided, no, actually, I'm giving it my all.
And you look happy. Are you happy now?
Yeah, very, very. I do feel really lucky to have been given this opportunity, and my partner was very supportive in it all, even though I was probably a bit of a nutter for the past year.
So we call you pretty much a reality TV star now, in terms of, you know, they're booming, living together with other strong characters like an institution. You know, there's Love Island, there's Big Brother. It's very in the now, isn't it? But How do you cope with living with all those strong people in that sort of institution?
Do you know what? So I used to live in hostels and stuff when I was a bit younger because I went traveling, went backpacking and had no money when I did it. So I'd been used to traveling and living with random people with strong personalities. So I actually have to say the house bit I quite enjoyed and I didn't mind it. I'm not sure if I could do something like Big Brother because I have to be active. Otherwise, I think your mind just must run away with you in that house, mustn't it? So, yeah.
Now, you're also keen to support young adults getting into the working world without being in debt. I mean, Manchester obviously has a thriving media and digital industry. Is that the future of young adults, or how come you're interested in them?
Because I just think it's so unfair that adults are going into the working world with so much debt. You shouldn't. Years ago, I remember when I got the chance to vote for the first time, and it was when university fees were going to be abolished, like Scotland. It was the Lib Dems, actually. So I voted for them. It then turned into a coalition and the university fees went up. And I don't think anyone in my generation will ever forgive them for that, because I just think, I actually think it's disgusting. I think if someone wants to be educated, then we shouldn't be penalising them for it and then putting them in like 30, 40, 50 grand's worth of debt. It's actually £50,000 worth of debt now that someone's going to come out of university with. And then what happens if someone doesn't like that job that they're in? They've invested that much time and that much money into that career that they can't then switch. And I mean, you get one shot at life. Why would we want to make life difficult for people from the beginning? Surely for my children and my grandchildren, I want them to have the easiest life they can possibly have and learn the most that they can. So I have actually been having some chats with some people in the education sector, in the government, and if I'm honest with you, they were actually quite unhelpful. I think there's so many restrictions in terms of the government with the NHS, and I think so many people who actually want to make a difference have their hands tied behind their backs a lot of the time, and it makes it virtually impossible. And I think so much money gets wasted. It drives me absolutely insane. So there is other ways that I'm going about things. Don't worry, I am still trying to make a difference.
So you're flying the flag for the young adults there. They'll be pleased. They'll give you their vote. And you're concerned about mobile phones on the young generation. And you've got that analogy, haven't you, to dogs. Do you want to just touch on that?
Yeah, so for me, I find it fascinates me that we are so confused about why there's so many mentally ill young people nowadays. But I mean, it's just common sense. Our bodies are machines at the end of the day, and we know you put natural produce in it, which we're supposed to eat, and we'll function correctly. But we're not. We're pumping our bodies full of chemicals with food that's, quite frankly, in my opinion, should not be legal. We're putting flashing lights into our eyes. We're not communicating with each other. We're stood next to each other and we're looking down at our phones. We're in this false reality. Our minds aren't on the present. It's not looking around at what we're actually doing. We're essentially in another world. And the dog thing is, well, if you put two dogs next to each other and you put chemicals in both their bodies and refused to allow them to communicate with each other, and they had to be next to each other, put flashing lights in their eyes, it would be animal abuse. But yeah, we do it to ourselves and we think that it's acceptable. And I never thought anything of it. I was always, like most people, I'd drink every weekend. I'd get a Mackey's every Sunday. I'd not think twice about what I was really putting in my body. And in hindsight, I just felt awful, really sluggish. You know what it's like, don't you?
Makes you feel a bit toxic, actually, doesn't it, the next day?
Yeah.
But we started our morning this morning, didn't we, with oats and berries. Yeah. We can advertise to everyone out there. You touched on anxiety. I mean, anxiety is a huge thing, you know, grabbing the nation. You've spoken to and about school kids and to CEOs, haven't you, about that? Now, we've got some tips for anxiety, haven't we, for those out there? Things like exercise, meditation. You touched on positive affirmations and avoiding negative people is what we think. What else do we think?
So I would say actually surrounding yourself with positive people is one of the most important things. We live in a society where you do have to think a lot. So just set yourself these little worry times. So it's okay to worry, but just use that hour. You say, okay, I'm going to allow myself now to think about these things. But after that hour is done, I need to park it somewhere, otherwise it's going to take up the whole of my day and I'm not going to actually be able to enjoy the rest of the day. So it's okay to worry, it's only human.
So anxiety in terms of, how did that manifest itself? Was it in terms of as extreme as panic attacks, or was it feeling, you know, scared or vulnerable?
In hindsight, I think it's something I've always struggled with actually since I was a child. I used to get really worried before exams and stuff, to the point where I couldn't sleep the night before. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I couldn't sleep. It was crippling actually. But then I started meditating and exercising, doing all the positive affirmations, and I managed to sort of keep it under wraps. However, when I was on The Apprentice, we had to, as you can imagine, it's a lot of pressure. I didn't have time to do all those things really, and I had to go and speak in front of a room full of people, and I just remember being like, oh, I need to get out of here, and I had to walk outside, and one of the producers actually came and calmed me down, and I just couldn't breathe. And for anyone else who's not experienced it, the way that a panic attack feels, it's like you almost forget how to breathe, and it feels so tight and you can't focus on anything else, and it feels like you feel a little bit like you're gonna die. it's not nice. Because I struggle with anxiety on a daily basis, I almost feel like people are so lucky that don't have it. I always think that everyone has it, but obviously they don't.
You know, without us sort of pretending to be scientists here, I mean, it is literally overbreathing, isn't it? Is when you get really worried and really concerned about something to the point that you can't control it yourself in your mind, you overbreathe, and then you're lacking the oxygen and you need the carbon dioxide back in order to calm yourself down. But it's difficult to know how to do that, isn't it? And people say if you have those, you should take those mushroom bags you get from the supermarket, you know, the brown paper bags, and carry them in your bag, and literally you put it over your mouth and nose and you breathe back in the carbon dioxide to calm you down, because it slows down the heart, and then the anxiety is meant to dissipate. So there we are.
There you go. I'll take that on board. I didn't actually know that one. That's great.
Don't carry any plastic bags.
Yeah, no plastic bags.
You've touched on your determination for happiness, and that sounds brilliant, the Happiness Hunter Project. We look forward to hearing and seeing more about that, particularly the Tibetan monks and the well-being. While we're on anxiety and similar to depression, the drive for magic pills to make us less unhappy is just off the scale. But you've got a theory about quitting the stuff you hate, quitting the jobs, the relationship, just running away, or is that just quitting?
There's something that Steve Jobs used to say to himself every morning. He used to look in the mirror and he used to say, okay, how happy do I feel about what I'm doing today? And he said that if it happened for more than a week or so, he said, okay, I'm clearly not on the right track. This is not the right thing for me. And so he'd change it. I have always been one of these people, because I am so ambitious and determined, where I'd be like, right, this is what I'm doing. And I'd go for it full force. And whether it was making me happy or not, I'd just stick with it. My ex-partner and I, we were together for 7 years. He's a lovely person. He's one of my best friends. I love him to bits. But we weren't right for each other. We knew that after 3 years. But because we both got on really well, we just kept sticking at it and kept trying it and trying it. But I think if we'd have just quit it 3 years earlier, it would have probably saved a lot of heartache. Same with jobs. I've stayed in jobs in the past just to get it on my CV. Because you think, oh God, if you've left somewhere before a year, then it looks really bad on your CV. But you know what? Life is too short. You should not spend more than a certain amount of time unhappy. I know it's easier said than done. Don't get me wrong. There's times where I'm petrified, but it will pay off, I promise you.
And we think that the right things come to us, don't they, in terms of, you know, that the right jobs, the right relationships. That happens, doesn't it, in terms of serendipity or, you know, the things happen for a reason.
I'm a very strong believer in things happen for a reason, but I do also think that you have to make opportunities come to you. So I know in the past I was always like, oh, why can I not meet people that I have similar interests with, but I wasn't putting myself in those situations. So I started joining different classes, and I also think trust your intuition, because I think the media actually influences us a lot. So we think that we want particular things because we've been influenced. I mean, it's marketing, isn't it, at the end of the day. If you start to go with your intuition, then that's what you want as an individual. Take it all back, take that influencing away. It's what your gut instinct wants. And that's actually how I met my partner, on a train.
Oh, that's interesting, you see. And the only thing we're allowed to influence people with is this podcast, because obviously it's called The Influential Women. So which strong men or women have inspired you?
Oh, okay. So this is probably quite cliche, but my mum brought me up on her own. I mean, you know how difficult it is just doing things for yourself sometimes. So she held down a full-time job, which she actually got pretty high up in as well. She used to take me to school. And this is the thing as well. When you're a child, you do not appreciate how much they do for you. Like, I always remember, so I used to always be the last kid who was picked up from like after school club, and I used to always hear my mum's keys jangling, and I used to always be like, my mum doesn't love me because she's the last one. And now I'm older, I think, my God, my mum was the most incredible woman, and she loved me that much that she was there staying late at work to make sure that there was so much she could actually do. So, Mum, I love you and thank you.
Oh, bless you. There you are. That's lovely. She'll love that. She's the strong woman. So the proudest moment of your career, was it The Apprentice?
The proudest moment of my career. Do you know what? Obviously, The Apprentice, I'm never going to forget that. And I'm very, very proud of it. I remember going from assistant to manager. That was a really proud moment for me, just because I don't know, I felt like an adult, I guess. And it was a really proud moment. And I love all the stuff I do with radio. That makes me feel so fulfilled. Like, I love that. So yeah, anything to do with radio.
So can we talk about your other passions? You say you like keeping active. What do you do that's active then?
So I love running. I actually do struggle though at the moment to keep up with my fitness regime, and I'm actually setting a business up around this.
So what's that going to be about then? Are you allowed to tell us?
So I'll give you a little bit of an overview, but I'm currently training to be a personal trainer, and I'm also training to teach meditation, which I already know how to do, but just getting even more to grips with it, because I want to help women and men, but focus on women, on growing and doing what they want to do. So people will have an hour with me where they can train, or we can go and do an activity that's actually going to help them grow, help them flourish, because I know there's so many times that we want to, well, me personally, I want to do something, but I don't have that courage to take that first step.
I better be coming to see you more then. And you like Vietnamese food?
Oh my gosh, I love Vietnamese food. To be honest with you, I love all food. I love all food so much. I'm such a foodie, but that's why I have to exercise.
So running is the thing. Now, do you have a mantra for living your life then, with all this positivity? And, you know, we've inspired everyone for their day. I saw you on YouTube. You mentioned Einstein's quote about logic can take you from A to B, but imagination gets you everywhere. I like that.
I absolutely love that quote. And I would actually say, if I look at the past year, I have tried to revert my whole life back to living with that quote. Because if someone had said to me a year ago, Jade, what do you want to do with your life? I mean, it certainly wouldn't have taken the course that it has done, but it has literally taken me everywhere. I just think life is so short. Do not spend it living how someone else wants you to live it. And it's so easy. I think humans are programmed to see the negative in things, but you can always flip things. So turning a negative into a positive, that's a good one that I always like to do. So for example, it could be something as simple as the fact that the water bottles spill everywhere. Okay, you could look at that and think, oh no, what an awful situation. But in reality, it made us laugh, nobody's hurt. So you can see, I know that's a silly example, but you can always find the positive in something, and there's usually a lesson in it as well. But you do have to work at it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm the world's most positive person. I have to work at it daily.
And sometimes people say, you know, to other people, they say, oh, you're so lucky or whatever. And I just think actually anyone can be lucky. You know, I think you create your own luck. You just get out there or you just chat away to people and something will pop into your mind that will spark something off, won't it?
One piece of advice I got when I first did my degree was, be nice to everybody, because you never know who's going to know someone who's going to know someone. And I genuinely do believe, whether karma is an actual force of energy or whatever it is, just the principle, if you're good to someone, it's always going to come back to you, whether it's in 1 year, 2 years, 10 years time. Just be good. Like, life, it can be hard enough without someone being a douche.
And be interested as well, isn't it? You meet someone and, you know, within 10 seconds you think, oh God, or, you know, but you never know, do you? You just think, actually, underneath, suddenly something miraculous changes.
This is one thing that did shock me last year. I've never had people wanting me for anything. It was always just they were my friend or they weren't my friend. And this is one thing that I think you need to be aware of when you do go in the business world. A lot of people do just want things from you, and it can be quite draining. So always make time for people who you don't need anything from, and always give time to people who don't want anything from you as well, because, like, you will always remember those people. And also, what you go back to being interested, there's another quote. Sorry, I love my quotes. This billionaire, he said, I have all the money in the world and there's one thing I cannot buy, and that's time. And it's true, you can't buy time. So that's your most precious asset. Like, choose who you spend your time with, choose what you spend your time doing, because, you do get one shot at this life, and I do think you regret the things that you don't do way more than the things that you can do and then fail at. So
we're giving some very great pearls of wisdom out there. So, and what's your next goal then?
Okay, so my next goal is to set up this business and keep plodding away at the radio. I absolutely love it. I love speaking to new people. Like, how amazing is this that we're just sat in my front room right now having a chat about life, living the dream. So yeah, and I really, really think that we have the platforms now to make a change. And I think people are cottoning on to the fact that we need to be a bit more positive. So hopefully, I don't want to sound all fluffy, but I really genuinely do believe that this can be a generation where we are all a little bit kinder to each other.
Good way to end. And yes, it has been fun. Thank you. And I think everyone should sit on their sofa with the microphone and get to know their friends in depth, because it's quite playful, really, isn't it? And we are, as the song says, living the best life, aren't we?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's good. What day is it? Wednesday? Yeah, can't complain.
And she's going to rush for a train. And thank you. So lastly, any key messages we'd give to inspire and influence women or men listening?
Absolutely. Just do what you want to do. And you know what? The people that don't agree with it and don't support you, well, then you need to look why they're not supporting you. A lot of the time people project their own fears onto you. And it's not because they're bad people. It's just that they wish that they had the courage sometimes to do things. And honestly, like, you just follow your gut instinct. That's number one rule, I think.
Thank you for that. So don't be afraid to change anything, to live your life, is what we're saying to everyone. So thank you for that. Thank you, Jay, for your time and your energy and your tips and positive motivation. And we hope we've inspired and helped everyone out there and lifted their day, for giving us your time to help influence women and men to get involved in something they're passionate about, or change something to make them happier. This influential women's podcast is presented by Nikki Bannerman and co-produced with Juliet Nichols. Please keep listening for more podcasts and subscribe for free on Audioboom and Apple Podcasts.